Hare Krishna. Welcome everyone to today's morning Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita class. Today we will be reading and discussing from the Madhya Leela, chapter number 9, and the chapter is entitled Lord Chaitanya's Travels to the Holy Places. And we will be covering two verses today, text number 97. And 98. So text number 97 is not on the board because it doesn't have a purport. So I'll read that verse, and then when we get to text number 98, then we can do it together. Hare Krishna. So reading text number 97. Translation. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu asked the Brahmana, "My dear sir, why are you in such ecstatic love? Which portion of the Bhagavad Gita gives you such transcendental pleasure?" Translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki. The Brahmana replied, "I am illiterate and therefore do not know the meaning of the words. Sometimes I read the Bhagavad Gita correctly and sometimes incorrectly. But in any case, I am doing this in compliance with the orders of my spiritual master." Purport. This is a good example of a person who has become so successful that he was able to capture the attention of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu even while reading the Bhagavad Gita incorrectly. His spiritual activities did not depend on material things such as correct pronunciation. Rather, his success depended on strictly following the instructions of his spiritual master. Yasya deve para bhakti, yata deve tato guru, tasyaiti katita I arta prakashante mahatmanaha. Only unto those great souls who have implicit faith in both the Lord and the spiritual master are all the imports of Vedic knowledge automatically revealed. Swet Ashvatara Upanishad 6:23. Actually, the meaning of the words of the Bhagavad Gita or Srimad Bhagavatam are revealed to one strictly following the orders of the spiritual master. They are also revealed to one who has equal faith in the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In other words, being faithful to both Krishna and the spiritual master is the secret of success in spiritual life. Om Jnana Timirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Unmalitam Yena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobistam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatam Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutan Parijana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakam Vitamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dinabandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namastute Tapta Kanchana Gaurange Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sutadevi Pranamami Hari Priye Vanchakalpa Turubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Bhevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo namo namaha. Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Srivashadi Gaura Bhaktivrinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Namo Vishnupadaya, Krishna Prishtaya Bhutale, Srimate Bhaktivedanta, Swaminiti Namine. Namaste Sarasvati Deve, Gauravani Pracharine, Nirvishesha Shunyavadi, Paschacadishatarine, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. So it's my honor and privilege to be able to speak on this beautiful part of the Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. I feel myself quite incapable to speak about such elevated topics, but I beg for the mercy of the assembled Vaishnavas, especially senior Vaishnavas like His Grace Yadubar Prabhu, who is present before us, and all the assembled Vaishnavas present here and online. So the verse again. The Brahmana replied, I am illiterate and therefore do not know the meaning of the words. Sometimes I read the Bhagavad Gita correctly and sometimes incorrectly. But in this case, I am doing this in compliance with the orders of my spiritual master. So we are currently reading a very important pastime. Actually, this pastime was quoted quite often by Srila Prabhupada because it captures one of the most important principles or teachings in the philosophy of Krishna consciousness. And what is that most important teaching? Actually, there's two that actually comes out in this verse. And the first is that bhakti or spiritual knowledge is never achieved. It is only received. So that's the first past. And the second thing is, second important, very important instruction, because Srila Prabhupada so eloquently states in the first sentence, Srila Prabhupada says, this is a good example of a person who has become so successful that he was able to capture the attention of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu even while reading the Bhagavad Gita incorrectly. And the Brahmana himself in this verse, he gives the formula for success. And that is, the formula for success in spiritual life is that one should make the instructions of the spiritual master one's life and soul. So two very, 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 very important primary teachings are encapsulated in this verse. For those who have not been following the Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita to this point, I'll quickly summarize the context of this verse. So Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has now embarked on a tour of South India. And he walked all the way from Jagannath Puri to the south. And he's traveled to many holy places, many holy tirthas. And then eventually he comes to this place called Sri Ranga or Sri Ranga Kshetra. This is a very, very famous, very popular temple in the south of India. And then when Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu arrives at Sri Ranga, he is confronted with a very, peculiar sight. And what's so peculiar about this sight, there is a Vipra, a Brahmana. And this Brahmana is reading the Bhagavad Gita. And while he's reading the Bhagavad Gita, he's displaying signs of ecstatic love. Now, the signs of ecstatic love that he's displaying is very rare. You know, in the Nectar of Devotion, Srila Rupa Goswami lists six characteristics of pure devotional service. And one of the characteristics he lists is that pure devotional service is sudullabha. It's very rarely achieved. And why is pure devotional service so rarely achieved? Srila Rupa Goswami gives two reasons. He says the first reason is that there are not many people that are very, very eager to receive pure devotional service. To receive this ecstatic love, this pure devotional service, one has to be very eager. And the second reason he states is that Krishna is not very eager to give it. So why is Krishna not very eager to grant anyone pure devotional service? And the simple reason is, when he does grant pure devotional service, he becomes completely purchased. As Prabhupada says, Krishna becomes like the plaything of the devotee. He will carry the devotee on his shoulders. He will put the devotee's shoe on his head. He will do anything for his devotee. So it's very rarely achieved. And here, we see a personality that is displaying the symptoms of one who has received pure devotional service. That is called ecstatic love, bhava bhakti. And he is reading the Bhagavad Gita and he is displaying many symptoms. And it is described here. He is experiencing transcendental bodily transformations. The hairs on his body stood on end. Tears welled upon his eyes and his body trembled and he perspired as he read. So these are all very rare, rare, simple symptoms. Actually, in the Nectar of Devotion, Srila Prabhupada gives a very nice explanation. Srila Prabhupada says that Srila Rupa Goswami has given a scientific explanation for these symptoms. And I'll read to you what is that scientific explanation. So we understand that we are in a material body. And this material body, it is made up of different elements: earth, water, fire, air, and ether. So Srila Rupa Goswami says, or Srila Prabhupada writes, the scientific explanation of these eight symptoms is given by Srila Rupa Goswami as follows. When the vital force of life is in contact with earth, one is stunned. When the same force comes in contact with water, there is shedding of tears. When the same force comes in contact with fire, there is perspiration. When the force comes in contact with the sky, there is complete devastation. And when the force comes in contact with air, there is trembling, failing of the voice, and standing of the hairs on the body. Isn't that a beautiful explanation? That this vital force is the force of the bhakti shakti. The spiritual shakti, the energy of devotion. That is inherent within all of us. Now it is covered. But when that bhakti shakti becomes awakened, when it permeates the body, when it touches the different elements of the body, as Srila Prabhupada explains, then these ecstatic symptoms being displayed by the brahmana becomes manifest. So this brahmana was displaying these ecstatic symptoms. But there was something very peculiar about this incident. People were laughing at him. People were mocking him. Why was that? Because he was, and it is explained here, that every day he would come in front of the deity and he would recite the entire Bhagavad Gita. And then he would display these symptoms. Now people were laughing at him, people were mocking at him, because they were thinking, he can't even read. So if you can't read, you cannot understand. And if you cannot understand, how can you display ecstatic symptoms? That is most probably fake. They were laughing at him. But Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, being the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he could understand what was the heart of such a person. And then Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu asked this Brahmana, my dear sir, you are in such ecstatic love. Which portion of the Bhagavad Gita gives you such transcendental pleasure? And then we come to this verse, and the Brahmana says, I am illiterate. I do not know the meaning of the words. Sometimes I'm reading them correctly, sometimes incorrectly. And that's why they laugh at me. But in any case, I am doing this for a reason. And what was the reason? My spiritual master ordered me to read the Bhagavad Gita every day. So the guru of this Brahmana, this illiterate Brahmana, his guru had told him, every day I want you to read the Bhagavad Gita. Now he didn't go to the guru and say, but Gurudev, you're giving me this instruction. You know I'm illiterate. You know, how can you give me such an instruction? He didn't even ask that. He had complete faith that the guru is telling me something. I cannot look left, I cannot look right. But if the guru is telling me, and I follow the order of my guru, I will receive his mercy, and who knows what. So he was just seeing the ink on the paper. And it would seem from the description here, maybe by hearing he could understand the verses and he was reciting them. But very shuddha ashuddha. Sometimes correctly, incorrectly. And he was reading. And he was experiencing this ecstatic symptoms. And he didn't want, he didn't care what people thought about him. He was just completely absorbed. And something very, very mystical was happening. And then we shall describe a bit what mystical phenomenon was taking place here. Srila Prabhupada quotes one very important verse in the purport. Once Srila Prabhupada asked the devotees, please tell me what is the most important verse in all of the Shastras. Now the Shastras are so voluminous. There is the original Vedas, there's the Vedanta Sutras, there's the Puranas, there's the Itihasas, there's the Samhitas, Upanishads, Mahabharata. So voluminous the scriptures are. Hundreds and thousands of verses. And Srila Prabhupada asked the devotees, so you tell me, what is the most important verse in all of the Shastras? And the devotees were saying, yeah, Prabhupada, Harinam, 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 Eva Kevalam, Kalo Nasteva, Nasteva, Gadiranyate. The chanting of the holy names, the chanting of the holy names are the only means. Prabhupada said, no. Oh? And one devotee, Prabhupada, Sarva Dharmam Parichaja Mam Ekam Sharanam Raja. No. Dehi no asmanyata, no. So they were putting forward so many proposals of what is the most important verse in the whole of the Shastras. They couldn't get it. Then Prabhupada says, this is the most important verse in the whole of the Shastras. Yasya deve parabhakti, yata deve tato guru, tasyaiti iti katita prakashante maha na tasyaiti katita i artha prakashante mahat manaha. So dear devotees, remember this verse. Prabhupada says it's the most important verse in the whole of the Shastras. And what is the meaning of this verse? Only unto those great souls, Mahatmas, who have implicit faith in both the Lord and the spiritual master, are all the imports of Vedic knowledge automatically revealed. So this is the secret of success. The Vedas contain all knowledge for us to become successful in our spiritual lives. And each word of the Vedas is in Sanskrit. And every word can have multiple meanings. Multiple meanings. How will we extract the true meaning? And Srila Prabhupada is saying here, that this is revealed to one. It's revealed to one. We can study and study and study till we are blue in the face. But we will never be able to extract the true meaning of the word. Now this principle, this key teaching, we will find very, very explicitly explained to us by the Lord in both the Bhagavad Gita and the Srimad Bhagavatam. So, in the Bhagavad Gita, we know there's 700 verses. There are so many verses, and Krishna speaks about so many aspects of spiritual life. But the Bhagavad Gita, he said, there are four verses that are called the nutshell verses, in which the entire Bhagavad Gita is encapsulated. You know which are the nutshell verses, Prabhu? Anyone knows which are the four nutshell verses? Sorry? Yes, chapter 10, verses 8, 9, 10, and 11. Now, the last verse of that, of those verses, Krishna explains, and that's, second last, verse number 10. Two of those verses, of the nutshell verses, bring about, Krishna explains this very important principle. And in text number 10, Krishna says, Tesham satatam yuktanam bhajatam priti purvakam didami buddhi yogam tam yenamam upayantite. To those who are constantly devoted to serving me with love, I give the understanding by which they come to me. So Krishna is saying, priti purvakam. What is priti? Priti means love. Priti purvakam. So Krishna says that to those who constantly worship him, bhaja, Prabhupada says bhaja. There's a word bhajatam here. Means love. Worship. Krishna says, I give them the understanding by which they can come to me. So Krishna, he will give us the understanding of the words. And then the following verse, Hare Krishna, is also very important. Tesham evanu kampartam aham agyanatam jam tamaha nashayami atma bhavasto jnana dipena bashvatha. Jnana dipena, the light, the lamp of knowledge, Krishna says, Jai Shri Shri Radha Gokula Nanda Ki Jai. Jai Shri Shri Ram Lakshman Hanuman Ki Jai. Shri Shri Gaur Nitai Ki Jai. Krishna says there, to show them special mercy, I dwelling in their hearts destroy with the shining lamp of knowledge the darkness born out of ignorance. So we are born into ignorance. We do not know anything. We do not know what's right, what is wrong in our spiritual life. So from within, Krishna enlightens us as the super soul. And from outside, Krishna enlightens us through the spiritual master. And in the 22nd verse of the 9th chapter, Krishna says, Ananyas chintayanto mam ye jana paryuparsate tesham nitya bhyuktanam yoga shemavi shemam vahami haham. Krishna says, but those who always worship me with exclusive devotion, meditating on my transcendental form, to them I carry what they lack and I preserve what they have. So this Brahmana, he was illiterate. He lacked any education to enable him to read. But he had the all-important quality of devotion. He had the all-important quality of complete and implicit faith in the spiritual master. And because of those two qualities, from within, Krishna gave him the meaning of all the words. So this is so important in spiritual life. I was hearing one lecture by Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada, there is no need to learn Sanskrit. There is no need to study all of these books. Prabhupada said, we only study these books and we've only written so many books because to preach, we confront so many people, we have to convince them. Otherwise, there is no need. Krishna will reveal to us everything that we need to know. Once one devotee asked Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada, do you know everything? Prabhupada said, no. But Krishna knows, and he tells me. So, this is there throughout the Bhagavad Gita. You know, even in chapter number 4, text number 34, Krishna says, Tadvidi pranipatena pariprasnena sevaya upadeksyanti te jnanam jnaninas tatva darshinaha. Just try to understand the truth by approaching a spiritual master. Inquire from him submissively and render service unto him. The self-realized souls can impart knowledge unto you because they have seen the truth. So sometimes on the path of bhakti, we mistake it. We get the wrong impression. Because in the contemporary world, one is given attention when one has some particular skills, one has some particular ability. One gets some attention. But on the spiritual path, it's not like that. As Prabhupada says in the opening statement, one does not need any particular skill or to demonstrate one's ability. The only thing one needs is devotion to the Lord. Now I want to read to you all another very important teaching from Lord Krishna in the same vein given in the Srimad Bhagavatam. And in the Srimad Bhagavatam, the Lord reveals something quite extraordinary. In the 11th canto, we read of the Uddhava Gita. The Uddhava Gita, Lord Krishna spoke to Uddhava. And the Lord spoke this the night before he departed from this planet. And he explained to Uddhava something very, very wonderful, which I will try to read now, if I can find. Chapter number 12. So Lord Krishna is speaking to Uddhava, right? And I won't read the Sanskrit because of time, but he says to Uddhava something very important. The Supreme Personality of Godhead said, "My dear Uddhava, by associating with my pure devotees, one can destroy one's attachment for all objects of sense gratification. And such purifying association brings me under the control of my devotees." So Krishna is explaining what brings him under the control of his devotees. And then he gives a long list of ways by which we can never bring him under his control, our control. And he says here, one may perform the Ashtanga Yoga system. One may engage in philosophical analysis of the elements of the material nature. One may practice non-violence and other ordinary principles of piety. One may chant the Vedas, perform penances, take to the renounced order of life, execute sacrificial performances, dig wells, plant trees, and perform other public welfare activities, give in charity, carry out severe vows, worship the demigods, chant confidential mantras, visit holy places, or accept major and minor disciplinary injunctions. But even after performing each activities, one does not bring me under his control. So practically, Krishna is eliminating all activities. He says, mam yoga, na sankhyam, na dharma, na swadasya, na tapas, na tyagyo, na neshtapurtam, na dakshina, na vartani, na yagyas, na chandam nasmi, na niyama. Krishna is saying, not by any ways can you bring me under your control. But Krishna says, you can bring me under your control by only one way. And what is the way Krishna has mentioned here? What is the way? No, Krishna is saying, by associating with my pure devotees, one can destroy one's attachment for all objects of material sense gratification. So Krishna is saying here, only by association and only by surrender of my pure devotees, can one bring me under his control. Then Krishna does something very, very interesting. He gives a long list of people or devotees who brought him under their control. Now listen very carefully to this list. Listen very carefully to this list. So Krishna says, in every yuga, many living entities entangled in the modes of passion and ignorance gain the association of my devotees. Thus such living entities, and now he gives the list, the daityas, the rakshasas, the birds. One bird, beasts. Gandharvas, the Apsaras, the Nagas, the Siddhatas, the Charanas, Guyakas, the Vidyaharas, as well as such lower class human beings as the Vaishyas, Shudras, women, and others, were able to achieve my supreme abode. And then he lists some names. Vritrasura. Who was Vritrasura? He was a demon. Prahlad Maharaj. He was a child. Child of a demon. And others like them achieved my abode by association with my devotee, as did personalities such as Vishvaparma, Bali Maharaj, Banasura, Maya, Vibhishan, Sugriv. Sugriv was a monkey. Hanuman, monkey. Jambavan, a bear. Gajendra, an elephant. Jatayu, a bird. Tuladhar, Suladhara was a Vaishya. He's explaining in the Mahabharata. Dharma Vyadi, he was a butcher selling meat. Kubja, the gopis of Vrindavan and the wives of the brahmanas who were performing sacrifices. And Krishna says, the persons I have mentioned, they did not undergo serious studies of the Vedic literature, nor did they worship great saintly persons, nor did they execute severe vows or austerities. Simply by association with me and my devotees, they achieved me. So Krishna is making a very, very powerful statement here. Krishna is saying, you can't capture me by all of these external qualities. You can only capture me, and he's specifically saying, by association with my pure devotees. And Srila Prabhupada, he made that point. Prabhupada says, the secret of success in Krishna consciousness is to make the instructions of the spiritual master one's life and soul. And Srila Prabhupada also explains that very clearly in one purport, in the Adi Leela of the Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. And Srila Prabhupada talks about his own life, and he talks about Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And I'll just briefly read it because it's very, very instructive. And the context of this is Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, we know, at one stage he was Nimai Pandit. He was a very learned scholar. Nobody could ever defeat Nimai Pandit. He was such a great scholar. But once he traveled to Gaya, and when he was in Gaya, he met his spiritual master, Ishwarapuri. And Ishwarapuri, he only gave one main instruction to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He told Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, you are a fool. You do not know anything. Simply chant this Hare Krishna Maha Mantra and you will attain perfection. And then from that point onward, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he completely forgot all of his learning. He forgot anything else he learned, and he focused on this one instruction only. And that is to chant the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. And everywhere Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu went, he would chant. And at one point in time, he went to Varanasi. And Varanasi is the stronghold of the sannyasis, the Mayavadi sannyasis. So there was this sannyasi chanting this Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. And all of the other sannyasis are looking at him and they're laughing. And actually they use the word Bhavukaha. They called him Bhavukaha. And what that means is, you are a sentimentalist. And they accused of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, you are just a sentimentalist. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, you are right. I am a fool. And my spiritual master said I am a fool. And I accept I'm a fool. But he gave me one instruction, that I should chant this Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, and I'm just following this blindly. And Srila Prabhupada, he quotes, because the verse here says, Mahaprabhu is saying, I firmly believe in the words of my spiritual master, and therefore I always chant the holy name of the Lord, alone and in the association of devotees. That holy name of Lord Krishna sometimes causes me to chant and dance, and therefore I chant and dance. Please do not think that I intentionally do it. I do it automatically. Automatically means automatically his consciousness was, I follow the order of my spiritual master automatically. That's my consciousness. And Prabhupada says here, a person in the purport who cannot keep his faith in the words of the spiritual master but acts independently never receives the authority to chant the holy name of the Lord. It is said in the Vedas, and Prabhupada quotes this verse again, Yasya deve para bhakti, yata deve tato guru. And Prabhupada says here, a person who cannot keep faith in the words of the spiritual master, but acts independently. Meaning that we may get an instruction from the spiritual master, but we do not think that this is so important for me. There's so much of other sadhus I'm listening from, hearing from. There are so many other instructions in the Vedas. I'll follow all of that. So one takes an independent view of what is the secret of success. And Prabhupada says, for such a person who does not keep faith in the words of the spiritual master and acts independently, nothing manifests. And in the Bhagavad Gita, Srila Prabhupada gives a very important definition of what is faith or Shraddha. Does anyone remember what Srila Prabhupada defines as faith in the Bhagavad Gita? If someone asks you, Prabhu, just define to me what is faith. You believe? Okay. Dinanath Gauranga Prabhu, if someone asks you, please define for me, what is faith?
Faith is a confidence that in all situations, whatever things that you're going through, that you'll be, things will be taken care of, irrespective.
Did you hear that? Prabhu is saying, is the confidence that whatever situation one is going through, one will be taken care of. In the Bhagavad Gita, Prabhupada says almost the same thing in different words. Prabhupada says, faith is the complete conviction that simply by serving Krishna, I will attain all success in life. The complete conviction, and the same applies to the spiritual master. Simply by executing the orders and the words of the spiritual master, I will attain all success in my spiritual life. This is the definition of faith, the complete conviction. Once someone asked Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada, you keep telling us that the faith in the instruction of the spiritual master, the execution of the order of the spiritual master, is the most important instruction. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave 8 main teachings in the Shishashtakam. But we don't see in the Shishashtakam any mention of the spiritual master. Why is that? Does anyone know what Srila Prabhupada replied? Srila Prabhupada said, it's there. And the devotee says, where? And Prabhupada says, Trinadapi sunichena tarorapi suishnina amanina manadena ketanya sadahari. Prabhupada says, this means, this is the word, surrender to the spiritual master, because one has to be humble. One has to be humble when one surrenders unto the spiritual master. So, Prabhupada goes on to explain here, this Vedic injunction is very important. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu supported it by his personal behavior, believing in the words of his spiritual master. He introduced the Sankirtan movement just as the present Krishna consciousness movement was started with belief in the words of our spiritual master. So Prabhupada is talking about himself here. He said, meaning Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur, he wanted to preach. We believed in his words and tried somehow or the other to fulfill them. And now this movement has become successful all over the world. Therefore, faith in the words of the spiritual master and the supreme personality of Godhead is the secret of success. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu never disobeyed the orders of his spiritual master and stopped propagating the Sankirtan movement. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Goswami, at the time of his passing away, ordered all of his disciples to work conjointly to preach the mission of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu all over the world. Later, however, some self-interested, foolish disciples disobeyed the orders. Each one of them wanted to become head of the mission, and they fought in the courts, neglecting the order of the spiritual master, and the entire mission was defeated. We are not proud of this. However, the truth must be explained. And Prabhupada says, we believed in the words of our spiritual master and started in a humble way, in a helpless way. But due to the spiritual force of the order of the spiritual authority, this movement has become successful. So Srila Prabhupada, he attributes all of his success to this one point. And that is complete faith in the order of his spiritual master. His spiritual master desired it. His spiritual master wanted it. He didn't feel qualified in any way. But Srila Prabhupada said, I tried. I tried. And it came out successful simply by the orders of the spiritual master. So, this is a very, very important principle. Even in the Nectar of Devotion, Srila Rupa Goswami says, Atha Sri Krishna Namadi Na Bhavad Grayam Indriya Sevan Mukhe I Jivado Swayam Evati Spurati Ahda. And then the translation, Srila Prabhupada says, no one can understand the transcendental nature of the name, form, quality and pastimes of Sri Krishna through his materially contaminated senses. Only when one becomes spiritually saturated by transcendental service to the Lord are the transcendental name, form, qualities and pastimes of the Lord revealed to him. And it is explained in the Nectar of Devotion, how is this revelation? How is this received? And Srila Rupa Goswami explains that when one is bestowed with this Kripa Shakti, one is only comes to the stage of Sudasattva when one is bestowed with this Kripa Shakti. And this Kripa Shakti is made up of two Shaktis. The Chit Shakti and the Ladini Shakti. What is the Chit Shakti? The Chit Shakti is the knowledge potency of the Lord. And the Ladini Shakti is the pleasure potency of the Lord. So combined, these two Shaktis are known as the Kripa Shakti. And when Krishna or the spiritual master feels particularly pleased with a disciple, then the disciple is blessed with this Kripa Shakti. And when that Chit Shakti, the knowledge potency, is bestowed upon a devotee, the devotee feels, now I know Krishna. Because the full revelation of who Krishna is, when one receives the Chit Shakti, one just knows Krishna. And when one receives the Ladini Shakti, then one feels completely blissful. So this Vipra, this Brahmana, by the mercy of the Guru, by following the orders of the Guru, he was fortunate to receive this Kripa Shakti. And therefore, he was reading the black and white, the ink on the paper. But it meant nothing to him. But everything, every word, every syllable that was written there was being revealed internally. So dear devotees, this is very instructive for us, you know. Sometimes we think in our spiritual life, we have to achieve so many things. The only achievement that we want to attain is the mercy of the Guru and the Lord. And that comes through implicit faith. Nowadays, It seems to be something that many devotees struggle with. Many devotees struggle with how to get this implicit faith. How to get this implicit faith, because, you know, externally, you know, materially, when we judge so many things about the order of the spiritual master. Recently I was listening to one sannyasi, and he was talking about the different ways in which one can receive the words of the spiritual master. And he put it in four categories, you know. But essentially what the categories was, unqualified acceptance, where one simply receives the words of the spiritual master and there is unqualified acceptance. Then he was saying there's another category called qualified acceptance. That one accepts it, but one qualifies it in a certain way. You know, in this circumstances, you know, Prabhupada may be saying this, and under this circumstances, it maybe doesn't apply. So in this way, people try to take the words of the spiritual master or the words of the Vedic literature, and they apply through so many filters of their own experience, their own understanding. And they have some faith, but it's not implicit faith. Implicit faith where, you know, one just accepts the orders and the words of the spiritual master. And even in, during Srila Prabhupada's time, Prabhupada had to go through that. One typical example was when the Americans went to the, so-called went to the moon, Prabhupada was taking his massage, and Prabhupada says, put the television on. Let's see what's happening, because it was being broadcast. And Prabhupada had his back to the television, and he was receiving his massage. And he was asking, so please describe to me what's going on. Oh, Prabhupada, the vehicle is about to land. Oh, yeah. Then what happened? Oh, they jumped out of the vehicle and they're floating, Prabhupada. And then what's happening? Oh, they're planting the flag on the moon, Prabhupada. And Prabhupada said, they have never went to the moon. And this devotee is giving Prabhupada this massage. And he had complete faith in his American heritage. You know? And he was seeing in front of him like they were going, landing on the moon. And Prabhupada is saying, they never landed on the moon. And that completely broke his faith. And eventually he left the association of Srila Prabhupada. And Prabhupada said, even if they didn't, he didn't believe me, how could he not believe the Shastra? How could he not believe the Shastra? So, you know, we have to have this implicit faith. And when that implicit faith in Krishna, in the words of Krishna, in the words of the spiritual master, when we have that quality, then everything is revealed to us. But to reach that stage of implicit faith, you know, also takes some doing. But Srila Prabhupada says, there's one way you can achieve that stage of implicit faith, and that is simply associate with devotees who have implicit faith. If you associate with devotees that have lots of doubts, you will see doubts will start arising in your mind. If you read on the internet and social media a lot of doubtful things about the statements, those doubts will enter our heart also. But if we associate with those devotees who have implicit faith, that will also rub off on us. And so maybe it's 1:45. I've been speaking a lot. We leave some time for questions and comments or reflections. Reflections is not necessarily a question or a comment. It's just something that you would take away from what was spoken today. Like Prabhu, if you leave the room and you're walking down the corridor and someone says, hey Prabhu, where you been? Oh, I was sitting in the Chaitanya Charitamrita class. Oh, so what's stuck in your mind? And then that's a reflection. Yes, Prabhu. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Prabhu. Thank you very much. What if, like, I have this experience, the guru gives you freedom. He says, okay, now if you want to do this, you do. Or if you like to do this, you do. So if I don't, I break his instructions.
Your question is, if guru has not given you a specific instruction, he's given you the freedom.
Yeah.
Well, we know in Krishna consciousness, there are specific instructions, and then there are general instructions. So Srila Prabhupada is our Param Guru, he has taught that there is the instruction and there's the detail that's behind the instruction. And the general instruction of Srila Prabhupada is quite simple in one sense. It's simply chant the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra with attention, follow the four regulative principles, and do the best you can to spread this Krishna consciousness movement. That is the order of spiritual master, and Prabhupada's disciples, who may be our spiritual masters, they give us the same instruction. The detail may differ, the detail of how we apply those instructions, we may have the liberty to do it. Like, to do the best to spread the Krishna consciousness movement. You know, one, you may saying, you know, I'll do the Harinam, or I'll do book distribution, or I'll distribute a prasadam. That liberty of applying that instruction may be up to us, you know. So it's not that, oh, okay, I am doing different things, I'm serving the mission in different ways, I may not be following the spiritual master. If you are reaching out to people, we are preaching Krishna consciousness, we are following the order of the spiritual master. The detail just may be different. You don't seem satisfied, Prabhu.
Just thinking, I guess I have to find specific and follow that, and those which I have freedom may or not.
Yeah.
In that sense, probably there is some specific ones.
Yeah. Yadubar Prabhu is sitting in our assembly. He's one perfect example of one who followed the orders of the spiritual master implicitly throughout his life. Would you like to maybe offer some words for both to the question that has been asked?
First of all, thank you very much for a wonderful class. It's a wonderful pastime. So much can be learned from it. Also, humility comes out very strong in that pastime. The Brahmin head, you know, he's totally humble. Prabhupada has given so many instructions, general instructions to everyone. The last instruction he gave to me was to become expert in Krishna consciousness. We're still trying. But, Prabhupada's books are filled with instructions. And it's endless. So we have a wide choice. And to fulfill perfectly one of those instructions, that could be enough.
Hare Krishna. Thank you. Vishwambar Prabhu, you like to?
I'm not following the thread. Something else.
Sure.
Yeah?
Okay.
I saw a clip, a press conference on... from NASA, and the director of NASA, this was about maybe a couple of months ago, they sent something on the moon, not someone, something. And he said that since the past four decades, we have improved our technology 30 times more. So I was scratching my head. I said, come. Poor technology in the 60s, they went on the moon. Very good technology now, they can't go on the moon. But I was really, you know, taken in. So the old thing, it was a bluff, really. And I was reading somewhere that the astronauts, they went on, most of them fell in depression, and they would never talk or recount, you know, their voyage to anybody, because it was a lie. And it's very uncomfortable, you know, to talk about a lie and make it the truth. It's impossible. It's like building a castle on the cloud. It's impossible. Mm. So they, some of them, to not disgrace the federation, the government, you know, they died with these secrets. They took it to the grave because they swore in a heart, you know, to never tell the truth, really. I mean, this was... I don't usually believe in conspiracy program, but the whole thing made sense to me that it's amazing, you know, to announce your own reputation against the Russians. I mean, Russians, they didn't lie, really. They never went to the moon, and they never claimed to have been to the moon. But at least they told the truth. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. It's a very interesting topic, and there's many books been written about it and many movies. And time will tell. So there's one question here from... Sure. Okay, yeah, Prabhu, Yadubar Prabhu, let Yadubar Prabhu speak, and then they'll come.
Yeah, since we're on the moon topic, in Washington, D.C., Prabhupada was discussing with the members of the Bhaktivedanta Institute on the subject of the moon landing. And one morning, during Mangal Arati, Prabhupada called... had his servants called both Vishakha Devi and I to come see him. So we went to his room. This is unusual during Mangal Arati. Went to his room and paid obeisances, and then Prabhupada looked at us and he said, "Take it from me, they didn't go." That's all he said. Bhakti Srivadamodar came in after that, and there was some more discussion.
Thank you.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. So words of Srila Prabhupada directly spoke to Yadubar Prabhu. Is Prayojan Prabhu at the back?
I wanted to bring attention really to Jivapati, who was serving here as, for many years, 40 years, as a pujari. And he explained something that he wouldn't say to anybody until he'd left his body. He had an interview. And actually, in that interview, there's two sections to it. That he was actively always seeking more knowledge and more knowledge, and going to different places, this and that. And and then he started with the Hare Krishna movement, and he says he blooped a couple of times. And then he said, at that time, I think he was a Prabhupada disciple, and he only saw Prabhupada once. But he explained then that at that time he experienced something. He didn't understand what happened to him, and his body was shaking. It was a greeting of the deities. He couldn't explain it, and he, for 10 minutes, he had the horripilating of the body, sweating, tears falling out of his head. He says he just wasn't in control at all. He said, and what he understood, he asked people about what happened. Oh, they said, "Don't worry about it." You know, they thought maybe he was just joking. But he said, actually, I came to understand since then that was the truth I experienced then. And that's what kept him going the whole time for the rest of his life as a pujari in the service of Prabhupada. just that, and he'd only met his spiritual one, master once, you know, in contact. So it's, that's a, but those two interviews were very telling, that he was a searching person, and then somehow or other, something gave him, you could say, a moment of samadhi that kept him going for 40 years. Because he saw it was the truth, what Prabhupada was giving. And that's it, really, that I wanted to say. So if you get a chance to watch those two videos on YouTube, it'd be very revealing, actually.
Thank you, Prayajan Prabhu. We'll try to watch that. Yeah. And, sorry? Jivapati? Someone wants to know the name of...
Jivapati,
yeah, Jivapati. Okay. Yeah, Jivapati, yeah. Pujari, yeah. Yeah.
Now can I say something?
Sure.
Yeah. Actually, what Vishwambar Prabhu said, we had a devotee called Srinathji Prabhu, and he was instrumental in getting the Chopati temple, you know, installations and the temple over there. He was the head of trajectory of the landing of the moon. He was a NASA scientist. And he wrote a book after that. It was, we never landed on the moon. And that was banned by the American and the other scientists. So in that he clearly mentioned that it was in Nevada, in the hills or some desert. And all the filming was done. And he has got proof of everything because he was the head of the trajectory in that particular campaign. So that was the point which I wanted to say. And it was a hoax.
Thank you. Hare Krishna. Did you have Mataji? You wanted to say something? Okay. 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 Probably.
Thanks for the amazing lecture. I really like the pastime of the Brahmana who was reciting Bhagavad Gita correctly or incorrectly. The reason is...
is the mic on? Is it on?
Yeah, it's on. Okay. So the reason is, like one thing is conviction on the spiritual master's instructions. Another thing is people were laughing at him. And that too, even that he was continually doing the service which his master has instructed him. This is quite practical in the current scenario, current world, when you may have some seva, some instruction, or and there are a lot of like people scolding, laughing at you in the corporate life, but still you can continue on this journey. It's a great lesson. And another reflection I think is, on material lens, you have to go through the karma that you have done in the previous lives. Maybe you laughed at other people. And this is the mercy of a spiritual master, that you are going through that karma in a devotional way. So that's my reflection. Not sure if it's correct or not, but that's the mercy, that you can go through that karma, and even through that, you can uplift yourself spiritually.
That's nice reflections. Nice reflection. Yeah. I just thought Brahma says something similar in the Bhagavatam. Tate nukampam shushashik shabana. He says, if one simply goes through life taking any experiences we are going through as the reactions of our past activities, you know, then we naturally inherit the kingdom of God. So that's the mood of a devotee, you know. So he was not bothered. Yeah.
Exactly.
Thank you. It's a nice reflection. So one last question, maybe, because it's almost 9 o'clock now. Oh, or reflection. Yes. Moini Radha Mataji.
Thank you so much, Prabhu, for the... I just felt that I was on a journey to understand... the importance of following my spiritual master. whether I know it or I don't know it, but just to follow like the Vipra, like the Brahmana, I can just aim. I'm far away from that. So Prabhu, my question is that I have also read in Nectar of Devotion that a moment's association with a pure devotee can give you that unflinching faith. And you mentioned that through so many verses today. And I'm just thinking, many times I wonder that what kind of association. We hear to the lectures of so many pure devotees. We do desire to associate with them more closely. But I'm not sure with what will make more effect. Would it be the words of the pure devotee or watching him, like the Sthita Pragya in second chapter, how he sleeps, how he walks, how he sits. So the way pure devotee reacts or he accepts things, when we see him practically doing it, will make a bigger impact, or just hearing his words will make a bigger impact?
That's a nice question. So it relates to what Prabhupada said. There's two ways to associate with the pure devotees or the spiritual master. One is through Vapu and one is Vani. Vapu is the personal association and service to the spiritual master. And then the second is Vani, the instruction. Both are important. One devotee asked Srila Prabhupada, what is more important? The book Bhagavat or the person Bhagavat? And Prabhupada said, the person Bhagavat, because he can pull your ears. The words are there in the book Bhagavat, you know, but the person Bhagavat is the living Bhagavat. And when we see the living Bhagavat in action, then the words in the book Bhagavat take on a new meaning. So both are important, but if wherever it's possible, you know, and the spiritual master is personally present, then certainly we should grab any opportunity for Vapu Seva. Again, Yadubar Prabhu, I would like you to, if possible, to comment on Mataji's question.
You know, I was thinking that both, you know, just expose yourself as much as possible to both. I was thinking of course, the movies. And that practically we can see how Prabhupada, what he spoke, how he walked, and so on. And the everything. I wouldn't try to figure out, you know, what to do and not to do, and you know, what's going to give the most benefit. Don't trouble yourself with that. Just expose yourself to as much as you can. Is that okay? One other point I wanted to make is that with the ecstatic symptoms, that it's not, we shouldn't judge a devotee whether he's exhibiting ecstatic symptoms or not. Because number one, the Prabhupada often tried to hide, I mean, the devotee tries to hide it. He doesn't want to exhibit that. And the real test is whether one has given up material desires. So that's the point.
Thank you. In fact, that point you make is very. Prabhupada says here, in when he explained this, the scientific, he says these symptoms are sometimes manifested internally and sometimes externally. The pure devotee always feels some such symptomatic expressions within himself, but being afraid of outsiders, he does not generally manifest them externally. Yeah, thank you. That reinforces. So we've gone over time. Thank you very much, everyone, for your patience and listening. Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki. Gaura Premanande Hari Bol.